rhythmic invention and melodic inspiration, but also the effect they had upon the world they were in at the time and the effect that the world was having on them at the time. Last night, I thanked the orchestra for sticking with this season, this remarkably challenging year, that through all the ups and downs, not knowing what was going to happen next in general, in public health, in the safety of our communities, in, you know, how we all feel about our society, they kept coming and making music and coming to rehearsals, whatever they had to do. And that's exactly what was going on with Prokofiev. That's exactly what was going on with Dvorak. And to a lesser extent, perhaps, or who knows, a greater one, certainly now, Joe, 10, as well. I have felt throughout this season a more profound connection to many of these composers because I can suddenly relate to what they were having to work through, work against, work in spite of. Dvorak, of the three composers, Dvorak had managed to find personal and financial and community-based success and stability the most. I don't actually know much about Joe's life, but Dvorak, by the time he came to America, he was 50-something, 52 or 53. And another thing I expressed to the orchestra last night, he came to this country because a woman named Jeanette Thurber, who was an artist, philanthropist, musically trained at the Paris Conservatory, lived in New York, wanted to provide this country with the opportunity to educate itself musically and develop its own sound in classical music, in its own, just the way, you know, if the French have French music and the Russians have Russian music and Czechoslovakia has Bohemian Slavonic music, why should Americans have American music? And she made this happen. She founded a conservatory and funded it. She made sure that it was open to everyone, no matter your gender, no matter your race or cultural background, no matter if you were able-bodied or disabled-bodied, whatever, you were eligible to be a student there. You could audition and get in. And she looked around and found Antonin Dvorak to be the nationalistic composer of note, of success. He did it in his own country. Why not have him reveal to us what we can do for ourselves? And it took a lot of convincing. This composer was settled. He was stable in his life, and he suffered from agoraphobia. He couldn't easily go out in crowds. He had a hard time even sometimes leaving his studio at the conservatory and going home with his student who wouldn't need to walk with him. He hated to travel. He did love trains. He loved the mechanics of trains. But somehow, he took this incredible risk and came all the way bajillions of miles on trains, planes, boats, and lived here in America and taught at this conservatory. And there he met Harry Berlet, the great African-American singer, who everyone knows for his arrangements of spirituals, but who actually composed art song in its own right. And he sang these African-American spirituals and slave songs to Antonin Dvorak. And he never deliberately, specifically quotes them in the New World Symphony directly, but the influence of those songs having been consumed by Dvorak's extremely perceptive ear permeates this music. I could go into all kinds of reasons why, the lowered seventh, the Aeolian mode, the pentatonic scale. These are all elements of harmonic language Awesome. Number two.
Really happy to share this concerto. It's one of his masterpieces. It's got everything that we know about him for, you know, that motoric kind of engine of sound, percussive approach to the piano, which is actually a new way to play the instrument. You can't play this concerto like you're playing a big Chopin concerto. You try to play with that kind of technique, it wouldn't sound right. And these are actually things that are unplayable. So there's that. But he also could write some of the most beautiful romantic melodies, you know, really rambling about Rachmaninoff in this kind of soupy and steamy and sugary art. He could also write jokes.
Right.
Not fun, humorous kind of jokes, but more like acerbic kind of digs at the music, where even at the listeners listening thing from. But he was, you know, constantly unsatisfied with his training, unsatisfied with his position, and always thinking that if he tries this, he can do better than the next person. So you'll hear that kind of ambition in his music growing more in his music playing.
And really, what's really weird and sad, he died on the same day as Stalin. Yeah, nobody even knew he died because Stalin died. They couldn't even get him out of his apartment after he had died because they couldn't get through the throngs of the Stalin crowd. So, yeah, it could be kind of
on death day.
That's right.
Right.
So I have to ask, I mean, you have recorded a lot of Prokofiev. You're my Prokofiev idol. That's my Beethoven. I'm not going to go any further. It will get too mushy and embarrassing. But what, I mean, you just talked a lot about him, and I'll think you love his music, but what is it that you have an exceptionally unusual connection musically in the way you play music, I feel? And what is that? Did that just happen?
It just happened. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. As I've been older and seeing my life behind me and kind of analyzing that, I can empathize with Prokofiev, who left his homeland when he was 17, 18 years old. I guess 20, 24. I left the U.S. and lived in France when I was 24. He lived in Europe, basically in Paris, but in Europe for 15 years. I lived in France for 12 years. He came back, he was tempted back to the Soviet Union, and then suddenly was stuck there because of the war and things kind of clamped him down and wasn't able to leave and made his peace there. I wouldn't say that I was stuck in the U.S., but the year I arrived was 9/11.
Right.
And travel became difficult and just things politically became very fraught. Not to compare myself and work myself at all at the same level, but those stages of life and being an outsider, being an insider, I can empathize. And so I don't know what started my love of Prokofiev. Like everybody grows up listening to Peter and Wolf, so we all love Prokofiev in some way. But I think that as I age and I see that my life stages have some parallels with his, I feel more and more empathy with it than I do with him.
And it's audible, laudable and audible. One of the things, I'm sure we're running over time here, but I just have to point out to all of you that you'll hear it, of course, that when I hear you play, I hear more articulation, more specific articulation than most any other pianists I've ever heard, which also allows for a really wide variety of color. This is one of the other things about Gore playing with Prokofiev, because so he is so specific in those choices in music, so it's a great match. Is there something you're doing with these things down here?
Yeah, a lot.
Pulls out.
Lots of stuff.
Because I hear, it's like you've got a secret sauce going on in there to pull out all this color.
I think one of the things that I keep in mind, those five elements, the motorics, the humor, the romanticism, the neoclassicism, the impressionism, wanting, those are all present, they're always present in all the music. And I think that there's a general consensus, a general stereotype of Prokofiev, that there's even a feeling at all, just being icy cold, kind of notorious, percussive kind of thing. There's so much more.
Right.
And I keep that in mind, and I think if you all keep that in mind as you're listening, I'll just try to identify, ooh, that's the percussive part. Oh, that's the notorious part. Oh, that's the neoplastic part. Oh, that's the humor.
And that's the awkward part.
And this is the best musical instructions we've ever received. It needs to be more awkward. Their kind of Arvin is really quite different than his, and they don't line up and they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's awkward. Awesome.
So I think if we keep in mind how rich Prokofiev's music is, then it becomes rich, and then you have to do everything you can to make it sound like it.
Yeah. Well, it's been an incredible million times over, and I hope you enjoy the evening.